in the hereafter. In the hereafter, the scenario, the situation will be pretty severe. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us many du'as and prayers so that we can recite those prayers to be saved from that difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the ummah so we can recite those du'as and be saved, protected from the adab, the punishment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the du'as and the amal and the actions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the other people give the tawfiq to do the amal, the actions that will, after dying, when a person will have to see this, the severities and the difficulties. And those individuals who've left this world, departed from this world, if somebody asks them or says to them, do something now, practice or do an action, how those people will be trapped at this moment in time, or stuck, that they cannot do anything for the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala has given us at this moment opportunity, life. Allah has given us health, ability. And it's the big mercy and karam and blessings of Allah. Allah knows how long more we have. This is written in His books. And suddenly we hear that somebody is ill, he cannot move anymore, or he is being struck with an illness. Nobody knows what can come the next day. So those moments we have, the time that we have, the hours that we have, they are very valuable. And if we can do such actions in these moments and times, such an amal, such an action, which can reduce, if it cannot eliminate the severity of thereafter, at least it can reduce, decrease the severity of thereafter. There are ajeeb, unique, severe images and forms of people in thereafter. The most ajeeb thing, the most, you could say, weird thing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this, and this is in the hadith, this is the meaning of the hadith, is that when a person will get up from the grave, because we put people into the grave, and they, when they die, their clothes are taken off, and they are bathed, washed, ghusl, and they are wrapped in the cloth, and then buried. So when that person will wake up in the hereafter and come out of the qabr, the grave, his situation or her situation will be that there will be an ajeeb, a unique adab, punishment inflicted on that person, and that adab will continue with that person. With that adab, same adab, continuous, that person will go into Jahannam, into hellfire. And it's such a severe, it might be 50,000 years each day, a person will have to wait in the intense heat, in the sweat. And it will be severe, intense darkness that we cannot imagine how much darkness. Everything will be extreme. The heat will be extreme. The darkness will be extreme. The weight will be extreme weight. The crying will be extreme crying. That person will cry and cry so much that the tears will come down so severely from the eyes. And we are sitting now and listening to these words. But when we will go into the grave after death, can we do anything after death? But no, we're listening now. We can protect ourselves, safeguard ourselves, save something for the hereafter. We can do something, can't we? So this is something of extreme regret if we don't take heed. That person who's died today, the poor soul, that's it. Life's end. Kitab is closed. Book is closed. Book of life is closed. Book of records is closed. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. So the situation in the hereafter, that person, when he'll wake up from the grave, get up from the grave, that he will be suppressed and burdened by the weight, burden, heavily overweighed by the burden. And it'll be such severe weight on that person when he comes out of the grave, such a heavy burden, massive burden, that would be making that person droop down. And that person will come out of the grave with that burden on his head, on his body, and then his hisab, his accounting, will be so difficult for that man or the woman. And this, in this world, that person, he was very delicate as a man or as a woman. And just for a small thing, he'd look back. He would look towards his servants. Pick this up. Do this. You know, you're very delicate people who want service all the time. He used to ridicule, for example, and he couldn't even pick up his own bag. And today on the Day of Judgment, he'll be bare. His body will be bare. And he'll have burdens, big burdens and weights on him. Oh, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where did that burden come from? He is naked at that time. He has nothing to his name. So much burden he'll have, so big and massive, that today we consider it as a minor matter, as a dharra, akin to a speck of dust. But when the reality of that will open and unravel in thereafter, because the reality of everything, if we do a good deed, We don't know how good it is here. For example, if you say once Subhanallah, what noor you will earn for the hereafter, we will earn for the hereafter. We don't know. We don't realize. So light Allah has given this kalima. In the same way, good deeds, Allah has given very light good deeds. But that person, his noor, he will not be able to sustain the noor of his good deeds. Yeah, so this is the opposite. The deeds, the good deeds, the rewards. So the individual will have the burden of what? That totally shaitan has presented to us as a minor, as non-existent, and that is sin, sin, sin. When we lie, does it take long to lie? Think about it. Does it take long to lie? No. When you break the promise, does it take long to break the promise? No. To go against your word, does it take long? No. Does it take long to ridicule someone? Does it take long to swear at someone? On every word we see children, they say such dirty words. Oh, they say this word, excrement, excrement, astaghfirullah. Such dirty words come out of their mouth. Such dirty words. Oh, she, you know the word that they exclaim. Allahu Akbar. So this moving the tongue, those kalimat that Allah Ta'ala has given us, one of those kalimat, the words that shaitan teaches us. Shaitan, when he gives us kalimat, they become a burden for a person and it comes into existence in the hereafter and it's stuck to that person. And that's why we don't feel it here, but we'll feel it in the hereafter. Yes, totally stuck to our minds, our tongues, and he stamped those words onto our minds and hearts. After one, after one, after one, the sins are piling up one upon the other, one upon the other. What sin? They're increasing the mounds of sins. Just like, you know, throw rubbish into mounds. So where are our sins piling up on? On our bodies. On our bodies. Yes, all the sins are on our bodies today. On our bodies. Piled up. Stacked up. One sentence a person says, one action of sin, one dirty impure thing he sees from his ears, he sees from his eyes, or he listens from his ears, or he sits in a dirty majlis, impure things he hears, he goes to impure company, insincere company, or he wanders around with wrong company, he goes to a wrong place in the wrong environment, and he laughs and jeers at dirty impure things. He steps towards or goes towards impure actions, immodest actions, and he has a desire and interest for immodesty. All of this is counted and included in sin. And Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will be most distressed in the hereafter due to his sins, due to the burden of his sins. 50-100 years stood there drowning in his sweat, severe heat, and that person will be weighed down by the burden of his sins. And the most easy, the most simple and beautiful color and form in which a person will be stood there in the hereafter will be that person. Everyone will be envious of that person and will be very light with regards to the burden and the weight. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. This will be the difference. You see that, oh, here, you say that person is nothing. And in the hereafter, you say he's got nothing. He's got no burden, he's got no weight. But he will also be waiting for the day of judgment. Isn't there time today to become that person? Think that the actions we do, the sins we commit, oh, I was forced to do it. We all sit down. I sat down as well. If I didn't go, what would happen? Oh, the people would mock me and backbite against me and snigger at me. Okay, fine. Join in. Allah says, fine, carry on. Your choice. Your choice. If you're saying you're forced to do it, then why don't you by force do a good deed? Why don't you by force go to the masjid? Then why don't you by force go and sit in the gathering of dhikr? You don't feel the force then, do you? That someone's forcing you or cajoling you or encouraging you towards good. And the sins of the stomach will be separate. The haram sins will be separate. The sins of the mal wealth will be separate. Yani so many sins are attached to the body of a person. There's no hisab. Unlimited. And you will lose count. Isn't this the case? Brother, so where are we going? The sins are piling up upon us. Piling up. The Sahaba Karam, noble companions, I said, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Subhanallah, that look, my companions, on the day of judgment, what will happen? That there will be a group of people, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll tell you, there will be a group of people on the day of judgment that they will be free from the burden. They will have no burden upon themselves. None. The Sahaba Karam were listening carefully, attentively, the old Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will these people be without any burden? And Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that in the world, because we're talking about the dunya, about here, planet earth, below the heavens, in the world, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those people who give their all for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu, listen to the statement, those who give their all, this is something to worry about, those who give their all, their time, their life, for dhikr of Allah in this world, then their burden will be eliminated in this world. The burden of the hereafter will be eliminated for them in this world. When they depart from this world and go to the hereafter, then their burdens already will have been lost, gone, evaporated. No issues. Isn't this a valuable action? Dhikr of Allah. Imagine how valuable is the dhikr of Allah. Priceless. It's not a minor action, my friends. Tell me, is it a minor action? What a big ni'mah, great treasure of Allah's fadl on His creation, on a man or woman, if he or she does the dhikr of Allah. This is hadith. Hadith. What did Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That those who do dhikr of Allah, those who give their all in this world, their time, their effort, their fikr, their worry, their everything. Yes, they will not have burden after. What category of people are they that are being referred to? Which people are they, men and women who give their all for the dhikr? We also do dhikr. You do dhikr. Zaid does dhikr. Zaid does dhikr. Bakr does dhikr. Everyone does dhikr. So are they in this category group of people who give their all for dhikr, or are we not? This is what we need to determine, to decide, or understand. So are we in that definition of people, that criteria of people? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the meaning of his hadith, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hadith, the meaning of these came, were illuminated to the hearts of the learned people, the muhaddithin. They study, they collate the hadith, they gather the hadith, they put them together, combine them, they give dalil, proof. This imam said this, he studied this hadith, this was the meaning of this hadith. This is all for our benefit, isn't it? And they give with dalil. And the walis of Allah on their qulub, on their hearts, Allah Ta'ala allows them to experience ilham, divine inspiration, where they have the understanding. So one is ilm al-ludhani, one is ilm al-dhahri. Ilm al-dhahri are the kitabs, the books, the text. One is ilm al-ludhani, the inspiration ilham. If there's a wali Allah who follows Sharia, and not that he's an empty box and he's sinful, oh, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me, he said this to me, and there will be no effect on these words of that person. Just like our Hazrat Sahib rahmatullahi, when words came emanated from his blessed mouth, then you should inscribe, write them. Only a mad person, what dalil is this? What hadith is this from? Great ulama, scholars, mufti would say that they would never imagine that. Ask Hazrat, what's the dalil for this? What's the proof for this? They knew. Either this is from hadith. If it's not hadith, then it's the tashri of the hadith that Allah is giving to His wali. Just do amal, practice on this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, so this is proof beyond proof that I'm speaking to. Say Subhanallah. That's the same fact we're speaking about here. The same fact. So, who are those who give their all for the dhikr of Allah? Let's think about this now. What's the definition of this? What status, level, practice, sign? Why am I saying this? Why am I discussing this? For this reason I'm discussing this. That if we are not on that level, then we should come onto that level. Because this is a practical gathering. This is not a drama gathering, jackanory gathering. This is a majlis of amal, action. Because Allah Ta'ala has told us already, this is not the day and age for crying, beating our chest. Oh, what's happened? What's happened to him? What's happened to us? No. Forget that. That time is gone. These are those majalis, gatherings, places, alhamdulillah, where we sit down and suddenly we start to remember Allah. That's it. If we think that we're going to pass away in the time to come, we're going to die tomorrow or sometime after, let's start today. Let's start practicing today. Let's release the shackles of the burden. So my head, they show me someone can get up. I challenge the whole dunya today. That is there anyone who can prove to me today that I haven't committed any sins? Tell me, have we? Have we not committed any sins in our lives? Is there? And if there's someone really who is free from the sins, who didn't have sins in them, who are innocent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told them in the kalam that in front and behind you everything I have forgiven you. So can anyone challenge today and stand the Ghawth and the Abdal? Who is that person who can stand today and say, I'm free from sin? And those who had sins, that subhanAllah, how can he say that he doesn't have a burden? If he has the burden, then why will he not be distressed in the hereafter? So this proves that from Alif to Ya, A to Z, it's lazim, essential, compulsory on every human being that he has to release the shackle of sins and the burden of sins from his body. Is there anyone who can say, I don't need to do dhikr of Allah? Is there anybody? Tell me. That there's no more bigger person than me, or than a person who's proud like a Fir'aun and says, I don't need to do dhikr. What's a majlis of dhikr? I don't need to do this. My brothers, 1 second of dhikr, alhamdulillah, is like this, that it will wash away our hundreds of thousands of sins. 1 second of dhikr, once to say Allah, is so great that it will make you white, whiter than white inside, free from the blackness and darkness of sin. Is this a minor thing? Such a great ni'mah Allah has given to us. But so sad to say, the shaitan's da'wah and strength. Tell me, how many people in this world depart from the world doing dhikr of Allah. They're wrapped in the cloth and they're put into the coffin and buried. Can anyone stand and say that he was a dhakir and he remembered Allah so much? I don't consider that I've been to a janazah and such a person I've heard in praise that he used to do dhikr of Allah. He was a dhakir of Allah, subhanAllah. And those who Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive them, what happens is that their janazah, people they praise that amal, that action that was to make that person forgiven. Oh, he was a good person. He prayed, he recited a lot of Quran. He gave good speeches. He was a great muhaddith. People praise him on his qualities. He served the deen. He served masjids. He served other people, just like we did a dua now for wali bhai. So what came out of my mouth? That the service he gave for the deen, wali bhai, and he served the masjid. May Allah Ta'ala accept it. So obviously he had this amal action, didn't he? That we are remembering. That's worthy of remembering. So after death, we'll see what we said from our mouths. Allah Ta'ala has made us mention his actions. Allah has stamped, approved, and wali bhai's life is made. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And we'll see, look, for example, the dhikr in the masjid, and mashallah, I'm fortunate that they've done dua for me, and I've struck the bullseye. So that's a person when he leaves the world in that form. For example, Allah Ta'ala says that those people's tongues, when the person dies, Allah says, praise him, start to praise him, so that his rank and status starts to get elevated. Okay, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't tell his friends to praise him, rather his enemies. And if the friends, they say, the enemies say, oh, no, he was good. They may cover their mouth with their hand, but they still praise him. No. He was all right. He was okay. And those who his own relatives say, no, he was very good. He was pious. But those who didn't like him, they'll say, oh, Suchi, oh, he was okay. He wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala says here more that look, not just his friend, even his enemies are praising him, elevating him. That how beloved my servant this was who passed away. My friends, the pious people are pious. But I'll tell you a unique point. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Listen carefully. Yes, I'm giving a reference, proof of a great personality. Who? Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani rahmatullah alayh. Silsana Naqshbandi, the Naqshbandi order sheikh, and such a great sheikh that a great imam stated that when I entered into Khurqan, what a great sheikh. He said, when I entered past or walked past the earth of Khurqan, then my feeling, emotion would change, my speaking, my emotions, everything. He was an imam. He said everything of my knowledge, my status would evaporate. My maqams, khatabat, speaking, status, knowledge, everything would evaporate. To this extent, I'd clutch my head and I'd consider and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken my wilayat from me and I've become a box. I would become empty. So much that Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani would overwhelm me, overcome me. He was even the great wali. He could not stand there and compare. And this was Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani and his greatness. Few hundred years before Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, Sayyidul Arifin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, great Sheikh Bayezid Bastami, he would pass by 200-400 years after Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani was to be born there. When he'd walk past that basti, he'd stop. I stop and he'd breathe in deep, cool breaths. And they say, Hazrat, Shaykh, what are you doing? He said that from this earth, from this vicinity, this area, such a great personality will come who I can smell his fragrance today. And this Shaykh will love him. SubhanAllah. So first and foremost, Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqan, rahmatullahi, first and foremost, what is the work he did? What he did? That SubhanAllah, he benefited from Hazrat Bayezid. And he said, this is my Shaykh. And from Khurqan, he went to Bastam, a few hundred miles distance, every day. Regularly he would travel. Ajib, great people, students who had value appreciation. I'm talking about the Naqshbandi sheikhs whose order and series we are in, and we have to wake up with them thereafter. And that we do that, we remember them in dhikr morning and evening, and we recognize them in our verses when we recite them. This is for the sake of the great mashayikh in our order, Naqshbandi order. We have our physical parents in the world, but these are our true parents who, due to their shade and their assistance, in the hereafter will get assistance. Because when you take the hand of the sheikh, you get the connection back through the decades and centuries. Brothers, if you get here with the Naqshbandi sheikh, then you'll have the connection with Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani. Great statement. And after dying, you realize these points, you realize what were the sins and the good deeds. SubhanAllah. Such a great sheikh. So what? Look at the adab here, his manners, his adab, comportment. SubhanAllah. And Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharkani, rahmatullahi, he had such adab and manners with his sheikh, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami. He would travel every day. He would go, he'd do maraqabah, he'd do silent dhikr, take the fares from his sheikh. And how would he come back? How would he come back? Not by turning his back. He would come back walking. And by not turning his back. And subhanAllah, what a great adab, great manners. and regard. He wouldn't turn his back on his sheikh. Look at the adab between the sheikh and the murid. And he would come facing forward, he would come back to his area. Subhanallah, what a great maqam, ajeeb sheikh, unique sheikh, ajeeb maqam, great status. And one other point I remember about him, that the words of the walis, well, I'm sharing with you, the pious predecessors, why am I sharing this with you? Why are we discussing this? What a great sheikh he was. 2-3 points have come, suddenly one point. So the first point I'd like to say is that he praised dhikr in a beautiful way. Hazrat said, I remember the first point I'm telling you, the point we were talking about, if we forget that subject we're left behind. So Hazrat Abu Hassan Kharqani rahmatullah alayh, he said that dhikr of Allah, that the initiation of dhikr, the beginning of dhikr, the first step, the first manzil step of a dhakir, is that he starts to complete the actions of Sharia in his life. This is the first step. The first step. So he was asked, Hazrat, if this is the first stage, then if he becomes regular in practice of Sharia, then what's the highest stage? And he stated the highest stage, I haven't even got there myself. Subhanallah. So this is the praise of dhikr of Allah, Hazrat Abu Hassan Kharqani rahmatullah. Allahu Akbar. First step is complete practice on Sharia. What was his maqam? He stated that so many years, 73 years, for 73 years, he said, no sajda prostration of mine was without Sharia, without the law of Allah. Every sajda I did, at that time, I was totally in obedience to Sharia all the time. Whenever I did prostration, there was no portion of my life against or without the Sharia. And the second statement, great amal. He said, not just this, that my life was not without Sharia for 73 years, rather, in addition, in those years, not a breath of mine was breathed, not a breath was exhaled, that I did munafiqat, where I obeyed my nafs, my desires. What a great human being. He must be greater than angels will prostrate. What a great human being must have been. 73 years, he said, I didn't obey the base desires. What a great sheikh. And now his statement, I'll come back to it, I remember now, I'll present. So we were talking about pious people, who are pious people, and how great individuals these were. We speak about, we discuss them, the walis of Allah, who reach to the closeness of Allah. They're not minor individuals. We need to recognize who they are. And they lived amongst the human beings. We should be very cautious in the world when we live. That a pious person, when he's being mentioned and praised, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the white cloud, allows the nur to rain down upon those people who are discussing and learning about that person. That's how beloved are the walis of Allah. And then we come, just like we're doing dhikr about, we're praising Hazrat Abu Hassan Kharqani. And if you are in the marketplace and you mention a wali Allah and you praise that person, straight away, immediately, Allah says that a white cloud of Jannah, it will start to rain down nur onto you. You will benefit from that nur, illumination. So now I ask you a question, that the walis of Allah, if they are criticized by people, what will be the condition of those people? Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband rahmatullah alayh stated, the words that are coming to mind, I share with you. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullah alayh, he was a great sheikh. I'm talking about the Naqshbandi teachers. And Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, alhamdulillah, he is the head of this silsala, the head of this order. Subhanallah. What happened, once a person came to him from his murid and said, Hazrat, I'm very in a tight situation. There's a king or some leader, and I can absorb everything when he speaks nonsense. When he speaks wrong about you, I cannot bear this. I'm fed up with this. I'm frustrated when I hear him criticizing you. May I not do something wrong? I cannot bear this. I can't control. I control all other things. But when he speaks negative about you, Hazrat, then it goes beyond my what I can bear, and I don't know what I should do. And Hazrat said, what's his name? Hazrat was in Jalal. He said, Hassan. Hazrat said, Hassan is his name. Okay. Okay. Next day, the king or that leader, when he was walking past a certain place, a bird came and he took his eyes and his nose and his mouth and grabbed them and tore them off and took them away. And he said, Hazrat, his face has been disfigured. Hazrat said, have you not read the verse of the Quran? I'll tell you the tafsir of that verse. And then he saw Kashf, in which Allah Ta'ala said that, my friends, be cautious and careful with them, otherwise be prepared for a fight with me, Allah Ta'ala says. And Hazrat said, this is the commentary of this verse, that those who are the walis of Allah, if somebody ridicules them, disrespects them, does wrong to them, does wrong actions with the walis of Allah, then be prepared. If he has a life of bi'adabi, disrespect and dishonor, then what happens? Allah Ta'ala takes revenge on that person in this world. Allah disfigures that person's face. It's the first adab in this world. That person's adab comes in this world. So both are opposite extremes, alhamdulillah. If we have friendship with the wali Allah, then Allah's rahmah descends. And if we are enmity, enemies with the wali of Allah, then the adab, the punishment comes out. So why should we have to say bad about someone? What's pitching us that we have to say bad about a wali of Allah? What need do we have? Why do we have to do this? And especially about the wali of Allah, why do we criticize them and speak negative against them? What benefit are we getting from this? None at all. Rather opposite. But we are in such a day and age again. Today, people, they feel compelled to spread negativity. So dhikr of Allah, which I was speaking to you about, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the burden on the people in the hereafter, the extreme burden, what will the dhikr of Allah do? It will remove those burdens in this world, start to reduce them, wash them away. And when those people will depart from this world and go to the hereafter, the dhakir, the man or the woman, then they will have no burden on their bodies, they'll be safe from the adab. So my brothers, let's do dua to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. There was one point that's left out that I was saying to you. Who will those people be? Those people who will give their all for dhikr. Are we amongst those people? It's about those Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke. Allah's Nabi didn't just speak about Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about those who do dhikr of Allah, that their burden will be released. So understand, it's not just everyone who does dhikr, but those who give their all for the dhikr of Allah. What's the definition of those who give their all? What people are they? I'll explain to you. Amal will be compulsory for us to do, so that we can be defined as those who give their all. Are we those who do dhikr? Are they those people who do dhikr morning and evening? Or do 100,000 tasbih in the evening? No. So who are those people? Are those who they do dhikr walking and talking, wherever they are? No. So which men and women are those who give their all for the dhikr of Allah? Everything. Shall I tell you who those people are who fall under this banner? It's those people who do dhikr with istiqamat, steadfastly, regular, on a certain amount. Subhanallah. Istiqamah is what? That once you take hold of dhikr of Allah, then mustaqim for the rest of the life, not to leave the dhikr of Allah. Not to leave the dhikr of Allah. That's why the mashayikh, they may, with the Naqshbandi tariqah, in the beginning you don't feel like, oh, what shall I do? Tell me more. What more shall I do? Because this is a ajeeb point here. We don't have yaqeen on the mashayikh, on the sheikh, on the teacher, on our nafs. We're following our desires. I want to do more. Give me more recitation. Sheikh says, just do this. This is enough. This is enough for you. This is enough for you. What's the reason? Because the sheikh doesn't look at quantity. The sheikh knows Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at quantity. Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. The Quran praises those who are regular, steadfast. تَنَّزُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels come to their assistance at the time of death. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that karamat will come to you, miracles, and those who will show other people visions and miracles and dreams. All the walis of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has praised them in the Quran. Allah says at the time of death, the angels will assist them, come to their aid. What are the words Allah has used? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Those who have regularity. If you tell him read 100 times durood, Shaykh has said this, all life long he'll be steadfast on that recitation of 100 durood. If the Shaykh says in the morning 100 tasbih, then 100 in the evening, all life long he'll be regular on that. If Shaykh says you must come to this majlis, all life long he'll keep coming to the majalis, the gatherings, and sit in the gatherings. If these are the people who are termed, those who give their all for the dhikr of Allah, those who are steadfast in the practice, brothers, this broken down humble servant is in front of you, but inshallah, you will save me from the fire of Jahannam in the hereafter. You are pious people, but you definitely will look for me, that somebody's burning, take him out. Why? Because he did a very good action for us. Allah will say, what did he do for you? What is it that he was a sinful person, but Allah, that he did a very good action, that he gave us the hukum of tazkiyah, purification. At that time you realize, what are these tazkiyah sheets? How great this sheet system is that I gave to you. Those who are practicing this, inshallah, on the day of judgment, they will see what a great system they're following. That through this, our sins are evaporating. All. And those who don't accept, don't want to follow, this is their choice. But those who are implementing, they will look that they will save me, alhamdulillah, from the fire of Jahannam, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the fadl and blessing and grace of his rahmah. May we not be on the brink of Jannah. May Allah envelope us and surround us with rahmah and we see Jannah. But with this ease, that person who's given us this teaching, was tazkiyah, is the main action in life. This is the main thing. This is agreed. Istiqamat comes from tazkiyah. Not this, that you do 100,000, then zero next day, then you have to force someone, push them. No, you're coming mustaqil, regular, and you're doing this with ease and with regularity. Shaykh said, do this 100, you do 100, 200 of this, 500, 1200, mustaqil, regularly, steadfastly, you are observing this. No, you leave, then you come back, then you leave. No, I see some individuals who come to dhikr, majlis, gatherings, especially those who are present here now. My heart is happy. I don't even know that, what does he do, what's his job, occupation. He's got my style like me. Yes, he's busy. I won't say his name. He sat here amongst you, such people. I don't know that what time does he work. I never see that person missing from any majlis. Never. It's not that he hasn't got a business or something to do. There are people amongst us, for example, they don't have business, maybe. And they're useless people that who have their business. For example, people are working, they come and they talk about business and they want to spend time. Those who don't do anything. But that person who works in a factory, or works in some institute or an office, and they're busy, occupied, employment, that's work, isn't it? There are many different types of jobs, employment, business. So how do those people get time off? They come to every majlis. He attends every majlis. And this is called istiqamat, regular. So this much regularity, the question doesn't arise that the sins will come to that person, overcome him or overburden him. No, the question doesn't arise. It will not occur. So this is those dhakir men, those dhakir women who love with happiness. They don't look towards extreme numbers, they look towards istiqamat. They're grateful to Allah, they're grateful to their Shaykh. Because this is being ungrateful, our Shaykh hasn't given to us anything, he hasn't told us anything, he hasn't instructed us, etc. This is being ungrateful, isn't it? So those people are grateful that they get the sabak and they've attained a lot. And they practice with full satisfaction and then take rest. But be istiqamat, regular. Istiqamat means what? Steadfast, you've been given dhikr, prescribed dhikr. The person who's istiqamat, that you go to a gathering, you'll see that I'm lying down. So 3 minutes left. Even if you go for 3 minutes and you're present, then you'll be in the list of those who are steadfast. That's it. If you can't do this, then he comes running. Majlis is finished. He's with istiqamat. He's included in those people with istiqamat. Because he ran. He hastened to the gathering. Even if he can't do this, he thought, how can I get to the gathering? I don't have time. He's thinking. He's nervous, anxious. Majlis is finished. That's his istiqamat. He intends to be in the gathering. Because Allah's rahmah is so expansive. Great, great rahmah of Allah, mercy. So come, let's promise to Allah that Allah, we've learned today that dhikr is a great action. All those who are listening and sat down, they should understand that what do we do on this amal? Istiqamat, steadfast. After death, it will benefit us extremely. This will pass our Quran, it will pass our salah, it will pass our du'as, it will pass our hajj, it will pass our service to deen. This action, dhikr of Allah, will pass all of our pastimes. Allah will say, you did dhikr, I will accept your Quran. That all your mistakes I forgive. And otherwise the Quran will say that I send curse when he recited me. Is the Quran saying this or not? Then what will we say to the Quran? Quran will complain. Will the Quran not complain? And thereafter Quran will say itself, the Allah, I will grab this person, I will complain. These people destroyed me. Look, he wouldn't recite me. No, they put me down, Allah will say. The Quran will say to Allah. But the dhikr of Allah will save that person. There will be a dhakir who will have recited Quran regularly, then his dhikr will assist him. And the Quran will say thereafter, Allah, you are merciful. The mistakes that he has made, that even when he made mistakes, he used to recite me, he didn't practice me. So Allah, you said that you will release his burden. So I have lightened his way. So Allah says, fine, give him the whole reward of the Quran he recited. So this is extremely essential for us. But with what? All the actions of Islam are essential for us, but with istiqamat. Will we do this, my brothers? Yes. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.